Hey guys, Lance Erline here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance. What in the hell is wrong with him? Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And the Rockets start the day against the Oklahoma City Thunder. It gets a little tougher here for our Rockets, and we'll find out what they're all about. We'll find out if this stretch, if Jalen is going to continue on the Jalen path that he's been on the last couple of weeks.
He has been outstanding. When it's a 4x100 meter relay race, and you have an inside lane, and it looks like, you know, you're at the inside lane, so you're basically, you have the outside lane, so you're way ahead of everyone else at the beginning. It looks like it down the track. Yeah. That's what it looks like when you start. That's what the Rockets had with this. With their schedule in about the last 2 weeks. Now we're starting to get to the straightaway where everyone's starting to make up their ground, and so that's what this is like. Like, okay, so you had your staggered start, but now you're going to face. This is where if you really want to get into the play, you couldn't play the same schedule forever. You couldn't play the same teams forever.
Well, so now you could argue they were behind by all those games because they started inside and they just caught up now. Golden State.
Yeah, maybe because of the soft schedule.
Yeah, schedule helped them catch up.
Well, but they put themselves at a staggered disadvantage because they played like total dog turds.
Well, they did do that.
You know, from the road forever. But I'll say, if you want to get into the playoffs or even the play-ins, This is a great test.
Yeah. Roosh wrote a dissertation on Twitter over his thoughts on Jalen Green and how critical he was of him early and now how appreciative of him he is. The story came out by Shams that, the Rockets wanted to trade Jalen to the Nets and the Nets said no. And so it's working out really well. We've seen trades before, the Robert Horry trade. Right, for Sean Elliott, that worked out well for the Rockets. That didn't happen. It was a trade that never happened because of medicals. But the Nets said no on the Bridges trade with the Rockets, and it's worked out really, really well for the Rockets right now. Listen, we weren't mistaken when we were saying Jalen wasn't playing well, and we're not mistaken now when we're saying Jalen is playing really well. Whether or not you think, well, I knew all along he was going to be a great – you could see it. He's a great player. You just had to wait for him to get great. This is a stretch now. We got to find out whether or not – if this continues to happen against really good teams and he can carry this organization with LP – without LP, and there's a chance LP comes back now. We'll see. But without LP and Jalen can carry the organization, now you're starting to validate that what you thought Jalen possibly could be. But let's not take a two-week sample size and go, well, you got to give him that long-term max deal now. There's a lot of stuff that has to happen.
This is the lame stuff that goes on Twitter where people are saying you can't cheer for Jalen Green. I mean, that's actual dumb. Houston Rockets fans are saying, no, you stay on that side. You stay on team. It's considered Team Alperen versus Team Jalen for a lot of people.
And I know which one Dell is on.
I mean, it's an absolute disgrace that fans have to gatekeep against other fans saying you can't have an opinion about how a player's playing. Look, Jalen Green, your opinion can be as fluid as a player's play can be, and you don't want it to be that fluid. You want to be able to have a pretty solid feel for who a guy is. After 3 years, you want to see more consistency, not just in the second half of the season from Jalen Green. With that said, he's playing terrific right now. He's playing great basketball. He is giving you a pause to think about how you handle moving forward Jalen Green. There's no question. With that said, you still have to take into account the inconsistencies. You have to take into account, can he play at a high level when Alperen's on the court with him? Because Alperen is the guy. So you have to understand, can these two guys, can he be the same player without him? These are all real conversations you should be able to have. But, you know, in this day and age, who's your favorite player? Who's your team pom-pom? I always knew we always knew he's explosive and had scoring potential since he was a rookie. All of us knew that. The guy averaged 30 points a game over his last 10 games or whatever. Big deal. We all knew that. You're not anyone special that you saw something special. Everyone saw that. But do you see it consistently? Do you see that level of play over the last 2 years? Okay. And you haven't.
Okay, right now. Right now, in your mind, is Jalen a guy that you that is a cornerstone for a winning and a championship type organization? Are the two pieces Alpi and Jalen in your mind right now? Forget about we got to wait with what in your mind right now?
No, I would rather.
Yeah, but here's
the
problem.
I'm not looking at this as a big two. you got what you're saying is that a guy you max out? And I say no.
Okay, so the problem is, if not, then you got to get rid of it. I don't even know what his value is right now.
I think it's good.
I think it is good too. But what? Because if he goes on to explode and be awesome, 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 it will be one of the worst trades the Rockets ever made.
Well, it depends on what they
letting
trade
go
for.
Of him.
It depends on what they
trade
for. Because listen, his individual play without Alperen Şengün is not indicative of what he's going to be with the Rockets when Alpi is there. So I can't worry about him playing well.
That said, without Alpi, he's winning 9 games in a row.
But it's
so
not...
I mean, now he's the argument could be, well, what do you mean? It's Jalen and not Alpi. And you know what? Look at this team right now. What he's got to conform to Alpi? Well, wait a minute. They weren't winning when Alpi was there.
They weren't
this
winning.
This is a much better team right now.
Against the worst competition.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I mean,
there's
some bad teams they've played.
Yeah, there were
here.
Some bad teams.
There have been some really
bad teams.
But
they also did it against Cleveland.
I know. You always go to Cleveland.
Yeah,
that's your go-to
well,
team
it
over
is,
the last
but
2 weeks.
But they're a good team.
I can't go to one team at home. You can't just keep doing that. Like, tell me the other team other than Cleveland. That,
you know, but they have one on the road. Listen, earlier this year, they weren't beating anybody
right.
Good or bad on the road. Now they're winning road
You're
games.
Asking about competing for a championship.
They beat
I don't
want
to hear about beating San Antonio on the road and – I need to know about, and this is not a shot at Jalen. What I'm saying is to act like a two run. I'm saying the same thing you did. To act like a 2 week stretch.
Yeah.
Is everything you need to see? No, we're about to see some stuff now. We're going to see what happens.
The next 5 games, and I'm not going to include the 6th game, which is Miami, who sucks.
God, what a bunch
what
of losers!
You know what?
The Rockets.
When you were when you were hoping for help from Miami, did you take a look at who actually made it on the court last night?
Who cares? Win a game.
Who made it on the court?
I don't care. It's next man up.
Hold on. Well, who cares?
That's what we do.
Who cares if Miami helps you or not? You get to play Miami. If they're so terrible, you can beat them.
That's
and
right.
Take
you
advantage. You can do what Golden State did. But when you look at the roster and go, "Hey, that $48 million not playing." Then your top
what about Duncan Robinson?
He didn't play either. Your top two shooting guards didn't play. Jimmy Butler didn't play. Maybe don't count on that team to
why
win
are
a game.
Y'all doing so much load managing?
Yeah.
Well, no. A couple guys have been out for one of guys been out for a month. That's not load managing.
How about putting together a better roster that can
how about
survive?
You, how about
look
you
at
win
Kelvin more, Sampson, what he does with
you,
guys down.
Yeah. How about you guys
Ryan
win
Elway
more games?
Or whatever got in.
How Elvin. About you guys win yeah. more games? Early how about, on. How about that? So yeah. you don't have to win 17 in a row to make
you
the playoffs.
You can't win a game?
How about you guys
win?
Win
a game.
You're the worst.
How about you guys win more games early on so you don't have to go on a 17-game winning streak to make
win
the play-in?
Win a game, Heat. You're at home. Win a game. Like John said, next man up. Ryan Elway got in.
Ryan Elvin.
That's not his name,
he got
Elway.
In and made a free throw.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's a mascot.
You didn't make any 90.
Boban got in like 3 games ago.
I mean,
it was a blowout.
I would
still.
Suggest
terrible.
Take care of your own business. Stop helping for help. How about
that? Yeah. Well, you got at Oklahoma City tonight. That's a good basketball team. We'll find out
yeah,
if you can play on the road against a good basketball team. And
what do you think the line is? I'm going to guess Rockets are 6-point dogs.
I would think that's a
back-to-back
nice.
For Oklahoma City. They played last night on the road.
Good.
That's all right.
What do you think it is? Just before I get there,
I like that number. I, What the way that the Rockets
they've been
playing lately?
Hot, so maybe it's well, lower. Maybe it's five. No, they don't have the number up yet.
They don't have it up.
Not yet. Let me check this other site. But yeah, it could be five. What did I say? 6.5 Could be five. It could be five. But that's a pretty. Yeah, five actually feels like a better number. But I'm going right now. Where are our Rockets? Oh, here we go. Let's see here. Our Rockets from Houston, 7.5
That's a bad. That's a bad number.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes. I would much prefer that it was lower. It gives me
now
more
you
hope.
Are dealing. You're going to deal with some.
It gives me more hope.
Well,
for
I guess you're going to have Jabari on Chet. I would assume maybe Dylan.
I got 7 at my bookie.
Okay.
That I don't like that big number like that. If you want to know,
no, I like it if I'm the Rockets.
No, you don't. If it was,
I don't want those points.
You don't want that. No.
I'll take those points. I think the Rockets
because
can stay
they're begging you to take the Rockets. A team that's won.
Well, I think it's also respect for Golden, respect for Oklahoma City at home. And let's remember now, the Rockets have not been a good road team against good teams.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah, no, they haven't been a good road team for most of the year. But this isn't. Listen, if you think that the organization hasn't had their questions about what they're going to do with they're saying the same things in that organization, I would imagine, that we're saying right now. That, you know what, they weren't blind to how Jalen was playing earlier this year or in his first 2 years. They knew that Jalen was – this is not what they envisioned with the number 2 overall pick. They envisioned a guy that was going to take over and be what he is right now. Now he's doing it. Now you got a bit of a conundrum because, man, what the hell do we do now? Is this the real Jalen? Or is the Jalen from the first half the real Jalen?
It's both. It's both is who he is because this is only his third year in the league. So I think it's both of those Jalens. That's the problem is you can't fast track experience. The guy had almost no experience coming into the league. Yeah. Almost none. He had no college experience.
When he had no coaching in his first 2 years.
Very limited G League. He had no coaching. I mean, not tough love like he needed. I had a great talk yesterday with a basketball person, and we were talking about the Rockets, and he said, you know, Ime Udoka, he said, Lance, what you have to understand about Udoka is he compared Ime to Kelvin Sampson, which I thought was interesting because I think we've done that. He said, Kelvin Sampson demands that you do things his way, but not in a way where he's, you know, it's an expectation. It's not, the way that he said it was great that he said, it's not a put on or it's not, okay, I'm going to have to turn on this, you know, I'm going to get mad and I'm going to show you a tough side. He said, you go in, he said, when he's in the building, he has an expectation. He said, when he's at practice, there's just an expectation that follows him where it's not something where he has to yell and do this and that. You almost feel it. He said, Ime's a guy, and this guy's been around Ime before. He said, you feel that this is the expectation. He said, it's the same way with Pop. You know what the expectation is. And he said, as soon as you talk to him, when he talks to you, you get the feeling, okay, this is different. He said, when guys are authentically like that, you pick up on it very, very quickly. When guys are inauthentic, he said, players can sniff out who's trying to be a certain way. Remember what the famous, they're not getting over picks. We're not closing out. Like, we could all see through that. With Udoka, there's a seriousness to him that permeates his practice and everything. And so I think it takes a while to get used to that.
And he's a badass. Yeah. And his whole staff is badass. I mean, that is a tough, tough staff. And, you know, there is a toughness about this team that we didn't see. And I know not just Dylan Brooks. Everybody is fighting.
Scrapped again the other day.
Yeah, they just scrapped. Well, you didn't have Jabari the last game because, well, he had to scrap
this
too.
This guy told me he loves. He said, he goes, the Fred VanVleet pick. And I said, yeah, but that amount of money. He goes, you know what? It's not that far off. He said, he was in the 30s. He was like a third. He said his value was about $36 million. He goes, it's not that far off. And for what he brings, you pay the extra money to get a pro in there. He said, Dylan Brooks was great. You needed to have a tough guy on that team because everyone in the league knew that the Rockets were not a tough team.
His value was in the $36 million range?
That's what he said, yeah. His valuation was in the $36 million range.
Do we know who we're talking about here? Oh, look, the Fred VanVleet thing, great. The Rockets need professionals. I'm not going to crush them He was like the fourth best player.
A champion?
Fine. Fourth best player on the team. Okay. That's great. I'm not going to crush him for that. You had to get professionals in here. But who's valuing Fred Van Fleet at $36 million a year?
Not me.
Well, it wasn't 36. That wasn't his
no,
value.
No, I'm saying what he
it
said.
It was 43.
Saying what they had to pay extra
the
to get
value
him.
Is 43.
No, the Rockets value. Was paid. The Rockets value is 43. Well, I don't know. I don't know the rest of the league.
What was the if league
you
value?
Pay for, if you pay $2 million for a house, the house is worth $2
million. For the Rockets.
Well, no, it doesn't make the house worth $2
million. No, it just means
that's what it was sold for.
It's what you paid
for. But if you try to sell it again, we'll find
No, somebody else might. You know what? This went for $2 million.
Yeah, it's worth $2 million for one person.
That's
yeah.
right. Well, that's
now you
what
try
it
to
worth.
Sell it again. It
that's
may not
what
be
it was
worth,
worth.
$2 million.
Time for you. What is QC Kinetic
like? If
worth?
You tried to trade Fred VanVleet, we'll see if he's worth that. If you get that amount back in trade value,
well,
$43 million worth of true value back.
Well,
you think you get that?
Does somebody want him at $43 million? That's the question.
That's what
not
saying.
True value back.
Their house what, may not what, be what you right. thought you valued.
Well, that's
back.
All right. He
but
was
he
worth
offers a value. And the whole point was what he brings is not about 3 points.
What is QC Kinetic?
QC
bring?
Kinetics brings. Well, what's the value of having your active life back? What's the value of waking up in the middle of the night or not waking up in the middle of the night with pain in your hips and your back and your shoulder, your knees? If you have consistent pain, which we call chronic pain, then you're dealing with inflammation. There's no way around it. And that inflammation, in a lot of instances, if there has not been an injury, then what you're getting the inflammation is because you have, you know, you're having issues with lost or rather damaged or diminished tissue. And so what you need to do is regenerate and restore. That's the big difference. And that's what QC Kinetics does. It's a regenerative process where they take the body's healing power, they concentrate it, they put it back into the joint. What does that mean? It begins to restore lost tissue, begins to regenerate lost tissue, restore damaged tissue. And so the inflammation goes down, your mobility increases. And I think the best part of it is you just don't walk around with chronic pain. All of a sudden, you're doing the things you love to do. You want to get out and play tennis again, play basketball again, go out and running instead of just having to walk, or maybe you can't even walk anymore. Well, I'd love for you to get that back just like my wife got back to a point where she could run a marathon. That can happen for you. It's 4 locations in Houston, and it's QC Kinetics. Go to QCKinetics.com to set up your consultation, QCKinetics.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here and hang out with us on the show. We've been talking Rockets basketball. I want to play this Jim Nance thing because we didn't play it. We didn't play it right after the game, but we got to talk Cougs.
Jim Nance knows his Cougar basketball.
Well, yeah.
No, I mean this year he's really followed
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, he hadn't. Yeah.
You get the sense that he's like, well, he's all in. You can remember now. Jim Nance came up with Phi Sigma Jamma. He was at University of Houston doing PA and doing some minor TV stuff and like. He was doing all this stuff during Phi Sigma
Listen,
Jamma.
Even when Jim Nance was all about the Cougs, even when, you know, he was still doing the broadcast. So right now that he's not, he's got all kinds of time.
That's what I mean. He's locked
still,
in on the Cougs.
He's always been locked in on the Cougs. But this is a really, really, really good bite from Jim Nance after the game. We haven't played it. I want to get this in here. Jim, right after the game. Talking about it's long. We shortened it up just a little bit. Here is Jim Nance talking about this Cougs team.
I tell you, if America didn't know who we were, and I've always, of course, you know, it's just part of our nature being Cougars. We always kind of feel like we got a little bit of a chip. Tonight, there's a whole new legion of fans that saw that test. That was a gut test. When was the last time you watched a game with 4 starters foul out? And you got to go win a game in overtime to get to the Sweet 16? I only did 354 NCAA tournament broadcasts, 96 Final Fours. 96 Final Four games, 32 national championships. I've never seen a team have to band together like we did tonight. I mean, I've seen amazing things happen over the course of all those decades of games. I've never seen a team have to go that far on a, down a bench and have everybody have their fingerprints on a win like what happened here tonight. God bless Kelvin again. I say it all the time, how he was able to keep everybody under control, put players in positions. I'm guaranteed the last five we had on the floor probably have never had a practice rep together, ever. We're fighting for our tournament lives out there tonight.
It's like he's on the bench.
Yeah.
He's a bench coach.
Yeah.
We're out there fighting for our lives. Like, our tournament
lives.
He's
a coug, man. Yeah.
No offense, Jim, but you also have never seen a guy like Wade Taylor out there just throwing up garbage. If you needed a balance of four starters fouling out, at least you've got Wade Taylor on the other side.
Wade Taylor's first half was awful. The end of the game was awful because of that defense.
Not yet.
He couldn't shake Ryan Elvin.
Ryan Elvin didn't have a defensive possession. Ryan Elvin wasn't on the floor.
That's right. He took him off.
Well, lucky for him, after the free throws, he said,
"I got you." He goes. Actually, Kelvin in the post game says, "You know what? I would have kept him on the floor, but he's as athletic as I am. Yeah, we just couldn't have him on the floor on defense."
Serious question. And I love Ryan Elvin and John Das, but when he did the
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
When John Daspit did the initial NIL buy, he made a point of giving money to Ryan Elvin too. Like everybody, he goes, "I want to give an NIL deal to every player on the team, even the walk-on." And so Ryan Elvin, that was last year. So this year he got a deal too. But he's been a walk-on this whole time. This is a serious question. And I remember when I was at Tulane, there was a guy, we were all winning, and Perry Clark, you know, Tulane had just come back from a point-shaving scandal. We all came in. There was going to be a big tryout. There was pizza. Bunch of pizza there, and we were playing pickup games, and the coaches were going to watch everybody and look for. And I played in a pretty good group of players. Like, I had some pretty good players, but the best was a guy named Stan Funchess. And Stan was, he's about maybe 5'11".
Devin's brother?
No, not Devin Funchess. Okay. But he used to guard Chris Jackson in high school, and he was a real good player. And Todd Bozeman said, I think he played Bozeman. He said, "If you can beat Todd Bozeman, then we'll give you a scholarship." Todd Bozeman was, you know, you've heard of Todd. He used to be the coach, and he was the assistant coach. Todd Bozeman said, "If you can beat Michael Christian," I think that's who it was, "and we'll give you a scholarship." And he beat him in a game to three. They just had a game to three, and he's like,
"We ain't giving you no scholarship."
And not only that, we're not giving. It was all. And I told Perry Clark this. Martin Fox had me. He gave me PC's number. I told him that. This story, and I told Perry Clark, I was like, "Hey, I was there at the tryout. We were all eating pizza, playing pickup ball, and you guys, we thought we were all going to get a walk-on spot or a scholarship or a walk-on spot." And we said, and you know who it went to? A guy named Brett Just, who right now is a big-time agent. His dad was a big-time agent. They were just taking a check. It was all for show. Let's just try to get people hyped up. And then they said, "We're going to give the walk-on to a guy whose dad can write us a gigantic check for all of our athletic program." And that's how the walk-on came in. I asked that to say, is Ryan Elvin the best basketball player they can find as a walk-on?
Well, Kelvin Sampson will. There is a bite. We'll play a bite.
I'm legitimately curious.
No. We're gonna play a bite from Kelvin Sampson about Ryan Elvin. I've got it stashed here. I'll put it next segment. Ryan Elvin is like the backbone of that team. No.
What do you mean?
I'm going to play the ball. He is going to be on Kelvin's his staff when it's over.
No, that's great. Yeah. And that's probably why they love him. You want a guy like that.
Yeah. I'm going to send it to you, Del, and I'm telling you right now.
I'm interested in hearing this.
They love this kid. But there was something, I mean, when everybody was around him and patting him on the head when he was about to start shoot free throws, I really, really couldn't have been more nervous for him. But the guys all loved it. They all loved it. We'll play that. As a matter of fact, let's take a break and we'll play that on the other side. But right now I'm talking about Houston Safe and Lock, and I've got a deal for you. Listen, you've seen Mattress Mac do this all the time. Well, Derek DeSola over at Houston Safe and Lock says, tell this, you buy us a new safe from Houston Safe and Lock between now and tomorrow at 5 o'clock, and he is going, and you pick the winner of the big college basketball, men's college basketball game on April 8th. You pick the winner of that game, and he's going to give you 50% back on that safe. Do you need a safe? If you need a safe right now, this is a great, great way to do it. Do you have any idea who you think is going to win the whole thing? If you're pretty certain about that, you pick that team, and you buy a safe, a new safe from Derek DeSola over at Houston Safe and Lock or King Safe and Lock, and he is going to, if you can pick that winner on April 8th, he is going to give you he was going to give you 50% back on your safe. Okay, so let's go. Get on over to Houston Safe and Lock or go to 975safe.com, Westheimer and the Beltway, or it's on Wirt and I-10. That's where King Safe and Lock is. You pick the game. You pick the safe, brand new safe. You pick the game, and the winner, you get 50% back right now. 975safe.com.
ESPN. 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we left with Ryan Elvin. Here is Kelvin Sampson. And you want to talk about a guy? He is sincere in his... I'm telling you, he loves that kid. Loves that kid. Here is Kelvin Sampson talking about Ryan Elvin. Oh, wait. We have a problem there. We seem to have a bit of a problem. We will work that out.
We got new servers, so this wouldn't happen anymore, Dell. So
or I would say, hey, I got it, and then we play it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well.
I mean.
Well, I didn't know it would take like 20 minutes.
Because you don't know anything about what happens in here.
Well, I don't want to know anything.
Exactly.
I just want it to work.
You don't know.
This is the first time we've had a technical
issue. It's not even a technical issue. It's just timing. I will say, hey, I got it, and I'll tell you, hey, good to go. When I do that, we're good. That's all.
Well, you were sitting over there just
looking
at
the computer. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if you're looking up Miami's recruits right now, if you want to know the truth.
I'm not,
I don't know.
Well, you could have asked.
You don't know. Okay. With your crappy Miami Heat team, can't even win a game for the Rockets.
Who's playing for the Rockets? No one's okay. Thinking about Draymond.
This win one for the Rockets is what should have been said. Ready? 1, 2, 3, Rockets.
Yeah, I'm sure the Gipper said that too, or however that goes.
1, 2, 3, Cancun. Is what Miami's saying.
They have a better record than the Rockets.
They don't even care about it. Stupid Heat. Can't even beat one team. A terrible Golden State team right now, too.
Okay, then you beat them at home. Yeah. You got a chance.
Well, we will. Don't worry about it. First, we're going to take care of Oklahoma City tonight. +7. The Cougs playing the late game on Friday. Going to play the late game on Sunday, I would imagine, too. Did you see the ratings for the NCAA tournament? Through the roof.
I did see. I didn't see Coug specifically, though.
So there is a lot of talk about adding teams, more teams, getting up to 76.
God, what are you doing? Come on, guys.
Well, you know what? The more teams that are involved, the more people will be interested in it. All of those schools, eight more schools with
doing?
All of those students.
It's all just
and playing. There's going to be eight.
Willis Wilson won it.
Eight playing games, four on Tuesday, four on Wednesday.
This is so lame.
Well,
you're taking teams that aren't good and you're putting them in tournaments.
Yeah.
Mean, come on.
Well,
what are we doing?
I don't know. Did you watch Indiana State last night?
Yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
But this isn't new. This is teams were bubble teams. You complain that they didn't get in, and that's part of the fun is who didn't get in and what's the bubble teams and who got screwed. Like that's part of the history of the tournament. Also,
you just hate anything that's new, so
no,
it doesn't matter.
No, I don't. Why?
The kickoff. I hate the kickoff.
No,
I hate NIL.
You guys want a participation trophy your way into
everything. I hate
Let's
the new
do 14
clock.
Players
hate,
in basketball.
You know what?
Let's
you know
do this.
The old
you don't
tire
have to earn
thing
your way in.
Is attached. Oh, look, I've got an argument. Let's just attach a participation trophy to it because that's supposed to validate what
it
I'm
is.
Saying.
Right.
Yeah. No,
it is. Well, we have Ryan Elvin if we're ready to hear from Kelvin Sampson on him.
No. I'm not going to let y'all just take shots. We got a 68 team, so now you're going to go to 76 and then 84. And then why don't we have 120? This isn't right for the other 40. Like, dude, how about you win a tournament or play well in your season?
Well, those
like,
teams
there's no validation for the regular season playing well.
Yeah, there is.
No, there's not.
Indiana State should have been in this thing.
They didn't win their tournament. Yeah. And you know what? The selection committee, frankly, I think got it wrong.
Well.
But that's part of it.
Well, what they should do instead of, and change that, what they should do is the regular season champ. Because that's a lot harder than winning a tournament.
Yeah, that's something they could talk about, sure.
All right. Let's do that instead. And then we'll add 18.
And we'll get rid of conference tournaments.
Is there a way we can turn it to a invitational the regular season just to get the seedings right so all D1 teams can play? That's what I'm looking for.
That's literally what Willis Wilson wanted when he was at Rice. He thought that everybody team should be in.
Let's start the tournament in late February.
That it wasn't fair that every team didn't get in.
You know, in Illinois and Indiana, I think, too, everybody gets in. And you keep on playing, and you keep if you go undefeated throughout the entire deal, you know, eliminate half the teams the first night.
Nobody cares about
you eliminate season. Half the teams the first
no
night.
No one cares so regular care. Season anyway. Why don't we just start college basketball?
Well, you get seeded because February. Of your regular season. You get seeded that way. All right, here's
like they do at the tournament.
Here, right, with now 76 teams, which will be great.
You're a little low. Let's make it even 100.
An even 100. Whatever. There's 340 teams now.
Yeah, 200 teams get kept out.
Yeah.
128.
We're still selective.
You got to be in the top third to get in.
128.
Let's go. Let's hear from Kelvin Sampson.
You know, he was a preferred walk-on. I didn't know what that was until about 2 years ago. We recruited him. We asked him to walk on. I found out later that was a preferred walk-on. But the second summer he was here, the guy that was his biggest fan was his dad. And his dad passed away. And that was a big loss to our program. Ryan's also a great cook. He goes to the grocery store and buys groceries and cooks in his apartment and invites the team over. He's just one of those guys, you know. Somebody needs a ride, Ryan's always taking care of him. He's the guy on the team that when they need advice, they go to Ryan. You know, guys come and go. You know, we've had some sustained success here. You know, it seems like every year we lose three or four starters, right? But Ryan's been here for 4 years. Jamal's 4 years. Jaywan's 5 years. We've got our guys, but Ryan is kind of a behind-the-scenes link. I'm so glad you guys are asking a question about him because I could bring him up and he wouldn't mean anything. But when he stepped up there and missed the first one, I said, okay, he got that one out of the way because he never misses. Then the second one, he just drained. And I almost left him in because he's really good at the top of a 2-3 zone. But as much as I love Ryan, he's got my athleticism, which is not very much.
There is
so I put the kid that I thought
that's Kelvin talking about that young man who
I'm watching. I'm telling you. I just Googled his name, and the first thing that came up was he's making a beef tenderloin, like Daily Cougar did. He's got a crawfish boil here going. He's got a beef tenderloin.
Kelvin just told you he cooks for the team.
He's got some, what is that?
Eggs?
No. These are what, clams?
Well, there you go.
He's grilling those.
He's grilling those for the team.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the team cook. He's Cookie. We got to call him Cookie.
And he also gives advice. So when the guys come up and, man, Ryan, this girl won't stop calling me. What do I do?
I don't know if I believe that.
Does he impart that type of wisdom too?
Yeah.
He just said he did.
He's a man of means.
I'm just trying to figure out how deep does the advice go. Man, these girls won't stop calling me. My DM's, Ryan, what do I do? And he's like, well, sit down, Jamal. Let's have a conversation.
I'm glad I could.
I don't know that he's giving Jamal
he said he
dating
gives him advice.
He did. Maybe. You don't he know.
Did. Exactly. That's what I said.
Yeah.
I want to know. How deep does it go?
It goes deep.
A cooker brisket, man. That's
Ryan
all.
Goes deep. And by the way, his tenderloin was juicier than someone else's.
Nah, my tenderloin's perfect brisket. Every time. You got to look, the key to cooking is just putting an internal thermometer in. If you get the internal temps right, you're going to hit home runs every time.
Yeah.
Like, You got to really screw. If you have a thermometer and a beef tenderloin, you got to really be an F up to screw that
wow.
up.
Wow. Wow.
Serious.
That's ugly. That's disrespectful.
Yeah. That is a little disrespect to drop an F bomb. Chris wants to talk to Lance about the NIL. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. It sounds like Ryan should also be a personal advisor to Jalen Green, but I'll digress. Question, Lance, on the NIL, like, here in Houston, we've got guys like DJ Lagway, five-star out of Willis. We've got a ton of great baseball, basketball, and football players. Would you explain maybe, and I've never asked this question, nor have I ever heard, like, how does NIL work? Let's say U of H is going after Lagway and A&M. Does he, like, actually interview almost like a free agent would do? Let's say he's interested in both and say, hey, you know what, A&M, you're offering me $200,000. You know, Daspit, U of H, you're offering me, you know, $250,000. Then he goes back to A&M. Does that kind
of
go back and forth?
Yes, that's actually a good question. You're very low on the numbers for DJ Lagway, what he's going for. Basically, here's one thing I learned. Schools have NIL budgets. It's not public. It's not supposed to be that way. It's not legal, but they have NIL budgets. And so they work in conjunction. I'm going to tell you how it really works, okay? This is how it actually works. This is not legal. Yes, teams now, well, players are now being paid to go take official visits to certain teams. That's not supposed to be legal, but universities need to get players on, you know, on their campus to give them a chance to recruit them. So they are now paying certain players, not all players, but they're paying certain players to take official visits. So now players are being paid to take a visit. Players are also now they're through their agents. They are allowed to have agents now. They are basically some players, and this once again, not all, are pitting universities against each other, especially quarterbacks. And a lot of it is how much can you give me? Not how good is the program, how this, what can you give me? And so, yes, it is free agency coming out of high school. Now, what I found out that is completely works contrary to the way NIL is supposed to work, and it's also illegal, is universities basically know they have a budget. Football programs know they have a budget of what they can spend. I was talking to somebody yesterday about a budget for this small college is like, smaller college is like $1.8 million. And I'm thinking, how in the world can this program, you know, handle $1.8 million? And basically it's like, I don't want to say it's like laundering money, but they take the money and then they have to shuttle it through a particular, you know, NIL. It has to come basically through a form of a post. You have to make a post for one of the donors or whatever, his business, and that's how you're doing it. So it's unfortunate that it's not, it has nothing to do with the player's name, image, or likeness. And frankly, I think that if schools unionize, if more teams unionize like they're doing in the Ivy League potentially now after Dartmouth basketball, a lot of that money is going to go away, and they're going to start getting paid like employees, and it's not going to be the same money. It's going to be a lot less. So I think the big-name people are not going to be happy. They're not going to – a lot of the schools are going to say absolutely no to unions because the players are going to say, this does not benefit us. But Lagway went for – I want to say it was like $3 million is what I've heard in the circles that he went for something like that.
Boy, it's good to be a high school player. I guess so. A really great high school player.
Why do you feel like you have to – you better be a good kid, because if you're somebody who's got so much ego – and you're getting paid $50,000 to go on a visit just to go take a vacation trip somewhere. I mean, why do you think you're going to listen to the coach if you're getting paid $3 million? If you want to get rid of him, you can get rid of him. If you don't like how things are going, you just transfer somewhere else. So it's got to be, and I know that's one of the concerns, is that coaches feel like they can't coach certain players anymore because they'll just leave to the portal. Like, you can't coach them hard. You can't. There's more pressure than ever before not to sit a player because he'll transfer. But yeah, Chris, the NIL, a lot of it is negotiated, but not a lot of that's going to be for the highest prospects, the top prospects.
Right.
It's not going to be for everyone.
No. And, you know.
But the money's way more than you think it is. And even before NIL, I heard what the money was to keep Penei Sewell in. Like, the money that they were, or he didn't stay in, but the money that was offered to Jamie, what was that quarterback's name? Jamie Newman. The money offered to Jamie Newman, I couldn't believe what I was. I'm like, Jamie Newman is going to get this?
Well,
Cam Ward got over $1 million.
That's okay. What he said, you know, and what what's happening out there is not okay. You're not supposed to offer the kids money to come to the school.
Oh, no, you're not supposed to. But that's
it's over. Happening everywhere.
That's over. Yeah, like I said, there's a budget. I heard a basketball budget yesterday, $1 million. $1 million for a team that was in the tournament, and they were not inside the top 8 seeds. They were not a Power 5 team. And their budget was $1 million. They have to raise money. They have to go to their donors, raise as much money as they can, and then they have to allocate. And so what these schools, apparently what's big now in basketball, and they're trying to do it in football, is creating, quantifying how much a player is worth, because you know you have to buy the player. So how much are you going to, how much of your budget is for to keep your players from transferring? Like, how much are you going to spend on your own free agents? And then how much are you going to spend outside? It's really not. We just need to call them free agents. So how much are you going to spend on your own players to keep them? And how much are you going to try to spend on players to get them from the portal? And then how much are you going to spend on recruits? And this small school had $1 million. I was like, wow, I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's out there. That money is out there. Kids, practice. Kids.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, go get that goal for your kids. There's money in them there hills for them.
Oh, please tell me it's...
Yeah. Go get that hoop.
Is it hoops?
It's not. It's Chastain Ford. But you can buy them a car, okay? They can buy their own car.
To drive to the gym?
They can buy their own car when they get that NIL money. And they can go to Chastain Ford. Get that Bronco Sport 2023 right now for 0% financing. It's what they can do right now because they're on the lot. They got to get the 2023s off. They are making deals. They are dealing. They're up to $12,000 off on all Ford 2023 trucks on the lot. They still got them on the lot, and they need to get rid of them. They can't have the 2023s anymore because the 2024s got to come in. And before you can get the 2024s, you got to get rid of those 2023s. Ford wants those off the lot. So here's the deal. You're looking for that Ford car truck, 2023, brand new. You got it at Chastain Ford. 1.9% financing on F-150s, up to $12,000 off on the 2023s. Bronco Sports, 0% financing. They want to get them off the lot, and they want you to have them. No add-ons, no markups. It's the way to go. The only place to buy your Ford right now, 2023, brand new truck or Bronco Sport or whatever, ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
ESPN. 97.5. Mm.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
750 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. What do we know about Miles Bryant? Cornerback. Was with the Patriots. Undrafted free agent. Now with our Houston Texans. Do we know anything about him?
Let me see if I wrote him up.
He was undrafted.
Oh, I did write him up.
You did?
Well, it doesn't matter. I write up 500 players. Miles Bryant. Here is what I said about Miles Bryant. Where did Miles Bryant come from? Ooh. I thought he was yucky. He was slow. Start off with slow. Well, let me take that back. Let's start off with small and slow.
Okay.
Okay, 5'8", 183 coming out. He ran a 4.62 40-yarder. He's also not explosive. He had a 31-inch vertical leap. Good short area quickness. And this is what I said. Bryant played safety in 2019, but should be a slot corner. He's tough-minded, but physically limited. His twitch and pattern anticipation make him feel faster than he actually is. Once he's forced to carry man coverage around the field, issues against speed will show up. Capable short zone defender, but ends up playing man over ball too often due to his lack of functional playmaking length. He'll lose jump balls against bigs, but does a nice job of crowding catch space. He's tough, willing tackler, but needs help bringing bigger targets down. The football character's awesome, but he might not check enough boxes to be a long-term make-it corner.
So, with the Patriots for 4 years, 56 games he played in, 18 starts. He appeared in every game last season, made 77 tackles, a sack, an interception, and 2 forced fumbles.
Wow, that's good.
Well, starting 9 times. He was on a bad team.
Yeah. Is he a special teams player? Because that wouldn't surprise me, although that's small for a special teams cover guy.
Yeah, I don't know. But he, you know, he was on the field. We'll see. I mean, they're just throwing, right now they're just throwing stuff up against the wall.
This is back-to-back years that he's had 70 tackles. Now, that's a DB having to make a bunch of tackles, so I don't know if that means he's giving up a bunch of catches. Let me look at some of his data points here. In pass coverage, ooh, yucky. He allowed 75% completion.
What? Now,
I don't know how much of that is man. For 614 yards, that is a ton. 509 yards a year before. What are we doing here? 10 punt returns in 22, 15 punt returns last year.
Can he kick return, though?
That's only one for 11 yards, but who knows? And his special teams.
Well, that was the only kick last year.
You know, he only played 21% of special teams. I'm not sure what we're doing here.
We're just throwing stuff against the wall.
Yeah.
This is like this Christian Kirksey. Now, that cornerback spot is the linebacker spot. From let's throw Denzel Perryman. Let's throw Christian Kirksey. Let's throw Neville Hewitt. Let's throw as much crap against the wall and see if anything sticks.
Guess who signed him as a free agent?
The Texans.
PFA. Coming out of the draft. Nick.
Yeah.
Nick knows him. Doesn't
know
the guy.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, let's add him. And I guarantee you, this is probably not a make it guy.
No, But what is that corner? What is that other corner spot? Do we know? Jeff Okuda?
Well, his guy's a nickel, so you know he'll compete for a backup spot
with King,
with Desmond King, and with whoever you bring in. So I don't know. It looks like you've just replaced your depth with more experience, more NFL experience, and starting experience. Because I will say, Jeff Okuda, starting experience. C.J. Henderson, starting experience. Mike Ford, good special teams player. Miles Bryant, starting experience. So, I don't know. I guess you've got guys who have a lot more experience on the team. You know, guys who have played, guys who have started in the NFL. They're going to be backing up now. So, I guess that's one of the things they wanted to do.
Listen, probably the most worrisome spot on that team right now is that other corner. That other corner is probably because every team now has at least two wide receivers, and that other side could get worked pretty hard. That other side could get worked because you don't have anybody good. The other thing is safety. Jalen Petrie's got to be a better tackler this year, and then there's the other. Who's the other safety that's going to be there every day? Eric Murray? I don't know. I mean, just have no idea. So that half of the defensive backfield is a little bit scary, if you want to know the truth. Everything else seems to have been, they've taken care of business. Can't take care of everything.
No, but you have
a draft. At 42, will there be a defensive back?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm seeing a lot of Roman Wilson right now.
Roman Wilson would make sense. I'm just assuming that Jim Harbaugh drafts every Michigan player. Chris Jenkins, Roman Wilson. I'm already preparing for him just drafting a bunch of guys. But, yeah, there's some good cornerbacks that are out there.
At 42?
It's not a bad – sure. It's not a bad cornerback. Goes way deeper, that position. I'll give you an example. Kamari Lassiter from Georgia could be there. He's 6 foot, 180-pound corner.
I forgot they signed Lonnie Smith. Never mind.
No, you're fine. Ennis Rakestraw might be there at 42, the corner from Missouri. He may go earlier than that. You've got in the second pick of the first round, maybe Chris Abrams-Drain, who's a really smooth, now he's 175 pounds. So
we'll put him at guard.
No, you remember Kevin Johnson?
Put him at nose tackle.
I remember Chris Ballard when he was at the Chiefs telling me, and the Texans drafted Kevin Johnson. This is at the day of the draft, the first round. I said, hey, what'd you think of Kevin Johnson? And he said, loved him, but we would never draft him. He's too small. He's going to get hurt. I said, what do you mean he's going to get hurt? He goes, too light. He's a physical player. He's going to get hurt. It's going to be an issue in his career. Sure enough, concussions basically chase him out of football. Now there's a bunch of 170-pound corners in this draft, or light 180s. Nate Wiggins is under 180 pounds from Clemson. This Chris Abrams-Drain is like 175. DJ James from Auburn, who's a good corner. He's 170 pounds. Like, I guess, you know, those guys have to tackle. The first thing that teams do if they see those little tiny guys is they say, okay, we're going to run right at them, and we're going to see if they can tackle.
Well, Miles Bryant can tackle.
Mike Sanistril, who is a corner from Michigan. Andrew Phillips. These are two, well, those are nickel corners. If you want guys outside, a guy who fits is TJ Tampa from Iowa State. I see him as a is probably an early third. I gave him a starting grade. He's a big, long arm guy, so he kind of fits what he may want to do. There's a guy named Kamal Haddon, who's a third rounder from Tennessee that I think's got some starting potential. So there's some guys. There's definitely some guys. Kalen Carson from Wake Forest. You just haven't heard about a lot of them, but there's definitely some players that could play. Cam Hart, actually from Notre Dame, who shut down. Who had some really good reps against Marvin Harrison Jr. Everyone talks about what Renardo Green from Florida State did against Malik Nabers. They like to use that to disavow any potential of Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr. I just tell them to go to the Cam Hart tape against Marvin Harrison Jr. because he played really well from Notre Dame. He's 6'3", almost three and close to 200 pounds. But he's a little up and down, though. But he's a guy that's going to get drafted high. There's a guy I love named Miles Harden who I think would be a great potential safety transition from corner to safety. So there's some Kyrie Jackson. I don't love him, but he's 6'2.5", 188 pounds. He could be there's guys, but I would look for tall guy. CJ Henderson's over 6 feet.
Would that be, if you had your druthers, would that be what you would do with 42? Let's just say they stay there.
What position
do you want?
So there's a chance Kool-Aid McKinstry could make it there. I don't think so. Or Ennis Rakestraw. It just depends on who's on the board. But, yeah, I would consider. Yeah, I would. I mean, if the right guy's on the board.
We need a guy named Kool-Aid or Ennis Rakestraw.
If I'm the right guy.
That's what we need.
Rakestraw, I would consider. But my guess is going to be, I don't know. They put themselves in position to just get best player available position to need. They'll probably look at defensive tackle.
Nope.
At corner, at wide receiver.
Yep.
And then, you know, a position that I don't know. Maybe they look at safety. I think safety is a big need. Maybe they look at a tight end spot. That seems early, and the only guy I could think of would be Jatavion Sanders. Like, I wouldn't draft a tight end there.
No. All right, we got a break in here. 713-780-3776. You want to get in? Come on. This is your show. It's 1 hour in. We got two to go. Right now, we got my bookie to talk about because it's a big week. Oh, what? Tomorrow, the Astros start. Tomorrow, the Houston Open starts. Friday, the Cougs are playing. Rockets play tonight against Oklahoma City. This is a wonderful time while you're watching your teams to put a little something on them. It makes it that much more exciting while you're watching your team. Okay, you got a little something-something on it. Don't get crazy, okay? Nobody asked you to get crazy, but a little something-something is always fun, okay? So put it on your team or put it on the other team. And hey, listen, if your team wins, oh, we won, so I'm good. But the other team wins, I want some money, so we're good. Either way, you're good. Here's the deal. You want to play, win, get paid. You want to bet anything, anytime, anywhere. You want to go to the casino and play blackjack. You want to play roulette. You want to play poker. Live dealers. It has it all. MyBookie.ag. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere. It is awesome. It's a great place to play, win, and get paid. I love it. You'll love it. Easy to navigate. It is fun. You're looking for that bookie, MyBookie.ag. Put in promo code BET975 to get your bonus right now. MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.